like to do, and we'll study that together. I want to say appreciate the invitation to come and to be with you. I told somebody earlier, my preaching has been on either side of you. I preached in Somerset, I preached in Hazard, I preached on either side, you might say, and so generally I'm just driving through London. So it's nice to stop and see what's going on in this town. So looking forward to being with you this week. And I want to say, most everybody's aware, and I'll say this a few more times, most everybody's aware that I'm over in the motel over there. And but what I'm saying is I'm available if you something that, like Donnie said, or something we need to talk about, something we need to study, just please say so. And Donnie has my number. You can ask me, and I'll give you my number. Like I said, you can call the motel. They'll get my room, whatever. It's room 305, by the way. And you can, however you want to do it. Or somebody we need to do and go see, or we need to visit, or we need to talk, whatever it is, please know that I'm available. I'm not just, you know, somebody just has to sit over in a room, because I promise you I won't be. But I'll be glad to talk and visit, whatever. And like I said, me and Donnie will come, however you would like to do it. But I just want you to know that I'm here and glad to help, glad to encourage you, glad for us to study and talk, whatever needs to be done in this week of the gospel meeting. I told you, look in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 16 is the verses. 11 to 16. Who'd like to read 11 to 16 for me? Okay, yeah.
7:11-16.
Yes, sir.
Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. They presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people."
Thank you very much. So when you look here in chapter 7, I want us to think about this event. And if you're taking notes, I just titled this Jesus at Nain, N-A-I-N. Jesus at Nain. And if you have a better suggestion, I'll take it. But that's all I had. Jesus come into this place called Nain. And verse 11 is interesting. It says that it came to pass the day after, or the day following. Well, the day after what? If you look in Luke chapter 7, he's actually his record from verse number 1, he's in Capernaum. And the events taking place in Luke chapter 7 and verse number 1, where he went and there the centurion, you remember, wanted Jesus to heal his servant. And said, "You don't have to come into my house." He said, I'm a man, you know, of authority, just like you, and I know I can tell a man to go and he goes, or come and he comes. He said, I understand that. All you have to do is speak the word. And the point was, this was the centurion who understood the true power and true nature of Jesus Christ. And Jesus doesn't have to stand there and put his hand on you and say, you know, disease go away. He didn't have to do that. He could be 1,000 miles away from you and just with a thought make you healthy. And he said, "I know that's how you are. I know the power that you have." And so he said, you know, essentially he's healed. He was better. He didn't have to go. And he said, he marveled at this. And that's another sermon that's a real good sermon. Jesus marveled. This is one of the times he marveled at somebody over their faith. And it wasn't a Jew. It was a Gentile. And so now the next day, he's gone from Capernaum, which is toward the northern end. If you have a Bible map, you can see the northern end of Israel. And he's going south down all down by the Jordan River and coming down south to this place, N-A-I-N. And if, I'm just going to say Nain because I don't know any better. But he's gone here the day after, And notice that whenever he goes, the Bible says, Luke chapter 7 and verse number 11, it says there was many of his disciples and much people. So what does that tell us? He had a big crowd. But if you call them disciples and then you call them people, I mean, are disciples people? So why would you say disciples and then say people?
Because the people weren't believers.
Maybe they weren't believers yet. You had disciple. Or disciple means what? Yeah, the followers, students. Then we had a bunch of other people. So these people were hanging on to this. So, well, what's going to happen next? I'm not really sure if I believe him or not, but I want to see what happens next. No doubt these people have come, well, the disciples obviously, but the other people, he's picked them up along the way. No doubt they've come from Capernaum, come down with him, come south, down into this place, and you have this great crowd of people coming, you know, from north to south, coming down into this area. Well, we also read, now imagine this, here's this crowd coming down toward this city. Then we also read how that when they come close to the city, that there was a dead man being carried out of town. His mother, a widow, following her only son, following his coffin, following his casket, out of town toward the grave. And notice there, it says, did she go by herself?
It's a large crowd right there.
Huh. So there's a large crowd following her. So you got this large crowd coming down from south, north to south this way, and then coming out of town, then, is another large crowd. And so one crowd's about to meet another crowd. Everybody with me? One crowd's about to meet another crowd. As he comes, Jesus does, comes down into town, comes into this place, leaving her town, leaving her area, because, as was common, the burial places and so forth, things like that of unclean, which that was what it would have been, unclean, had dead body. We have those things out of town. Okay, so we go out of town for the cemetery. And that's been kind of a practice we've had even in this country to a degree, except that sometimes the town ends up growing and going past the cemetery again. But usually when a town first starts, the cemetery is out of town on the hill over here, whatever. And so, this is not uncommon. But as they go, the Bible says that these people were with, see, the much people was with her. All right, and verse 12. Go back to verse 11. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. With him and with her. So we have one crowd following Jesus, one crowd following the lady, following the widow, the one who's lost her son. So we have two groups, I should say, with, either with Jesus or with the widow, they're with, but for entirely different reasons. One group follows the one giving life. One group follows the one mourning death. Could you get much opposite extremes than that? We've got one following life, we've got one following death. And they're about to meet. Any questions at all? All I'm doing is just talking about the text right now. So just jump in if you'd like. The next thing that happened was, the next verse, next thing as they come in, now they've caught up with one another. And it says, the Lord saw her and had compassion on her and said, weep not. Wonder why she was crying. Any idea? Yes, sir.
One of the thoughts that came to me is that she was a widow, mm-hmm. So she'd lost her husband. Mm-hmm. Her means of support were gone, so that would have fell upon her only son, and he was gone now. So her plight would have been uncertain as far as how she's going to sustain herself. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is where my wife would say this is the difference from a man's interpretation and a woman. Both are correct. You're upset, you lost your son, he's dead. And you did say that too. But you bring out something that not everybody was thinking about. But in those days, a widow didn't have... In other words, the only property she had was because she was married. The woman didn't have property necessarily just because she went out and bought a piece of property. That really didn't happen very much. There's a couple exceptions in the Bible I know of, but other than that, your husband, if you're a wife, that's your husband has the property. He dies, it goes not to you, it goes to your son, or sons, whatever you have. And then now they're dead. Now, no doubt this has to cross her mind that now I have no place to live, basically. She has to go live with her brother, brother-in-law, some other male family member. She's got to go with them now, whoever that may be. But yes, you got that, and here she is, she's weeping. She just lost her son. He's the only one, only son. He's dead. I can't imagine that, and I don't want to imagine that. But there she was, going to follow her only son, follow his casket to his grave. I've told people for years, and I'm still right, that's the most unnatural thing in the world, is to outlive your children. There's not a parent I know that wants to do that. I know some parents that had to. And you do too. It's the most unnatural thing in the world to outlive your children. So how in the world could Jesus walk up to this woman and tell her, quit crying? That's what that verse says, isn't it? Thank you for noticing the context. He didn't go up there and say, hey, quit crying. It wasn't like your mother said, you don't quit crying, I'll give you something to cry about. This was, he looked on compassion, and said, and that is one where you come up and say, oh, don't cry. Now, we might not be able to say something like that to somebody, but Jesus can, because he knows what he's about to do. Jesus is about to put an end to this funeral. Jesus on earth, I guess he ruined about every funeral he ever attended. Because anyone he went to, he raised the dead up. And it ruined the funeral. It was over right there. And so even in his own situation, he couldn't even stay dead. So even there, here Jesus is resurrected the third day. So he looked on her. And this phrase, when he says he had compassion, is very, very important. Jesus is not unfeeling. He's not unfeeling. He understands. And we are his creation for sure. Without him was not anything made that was made. He is our creator. We are his creation. But at the same time, he doesn't look upon us as, you know, ants just squash you. Nothing, worthless. He says, you're important to me. You're very important to me. Whenever you hurt, I hurt too. He had compassion on us. If you hurt, then I hurt. In John chapter 11, what's considered the shortest verse of the Bible, in John 11:35, says what? Yeah. He went. Why was he crying?
His friend Lazarus.
Yeah. But didn't he know he was about right? You're going to stand there and raise him in 5 minutes? There's still compassion, wasn't there? And they're still hurting over... He hurt because the people hurt. He was upset because they were upset. He knew what he was going to do. That didn't stop him from feeling and saying, hey, I care about these people, and I know they're upset, and they're my friends. Now back up. He hadn't met her before, so far as earthly terms are concerned. But it says three words that I'm going to focus in on. Where it says, the Lord saw her. sometimes we run so fast through scriptures, reading scriptures, we run so fast we don't slow down and pay attention to really what that's saying. Saying the Lord saw her to me is significant. Just in those three words. The Lord. Now who is Lord? You know what the word Lord means? The Lord means, it means the word, what it means is sovereign, ruler, or controller. That's what it means. So whenever it says Lord, it's saying He's our sovereign. It's kind of like saying King. Ruler, controller. The Lord, the one in control. The Lord, the one who is our sovereign, the one who rules us. And when I think in those terms, and I think, well, why in the world would you waste your time? Why in the world would you slow down and look at some widow woman that doesn't have any money, doesn't have anything, can do nothing for you, can do you no political favors, can do you nothing, can help you in no way, why in the world would you care about her at all? If you're the Lord. With me? The Lord saw. S-A-W, saw. Past tense of see. He saw. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 15 verse 3 that the eyes of the Lord are where? That's 1 Peter 3. That's my next verse. Proverbs 15 3 says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Beholding the evil and the good. God sees everything. And yes, 1 Peter 3:12, which is a quotation, an Old Testament quotation, is also the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But when you look, He saw her. Saw. He was looking. He was attentive. He was, here's the word, He was observant. How observant are you? How observant are you? I'll go ahead and give you a little true confession time. Whenever I came over this morning and I made my left turn onto Minton Road and I come down here, I come within about 3 feet of having a head-on collision or side-on collision. Do you know that? You know why? I wasn't paying attention. I thought the road was clear. Whenever I made my left turn like this, about that time I see whoop. So I put my brakes on real quick and just real politely said, you can go first. And then I went on. You know why? I didn't saw. I didn't see. How many funeral processions have you seen this week? 3 weeks. How many funeral processions have you seen in the last 3 months? Any idea? How many funeral processions have you seen this year? That many. See, whenever Jesus came to the funeral procession, He saw it. He saw her. That's my point three. Her. The Lord saw her. The widow. Like we was talking about a minute ago, she doesn't have any property rights in this society. She doesn't have things like that. So she can do me no favors. She can do me no... help in any way. Why even stop? The Lord saw her. It would have been normal to ignore it. It would have been normal. It would have been normal for them to have stood there and let him pass by and said, now let's get to town. He saw her. You ever wonder why? in the Old and New Testaments, God makes it very clear that your job is to help the widows and the orphans. You ever notice that? You ever notice that in James chapter 1 when he talks about the individual Christian's responsibility? That if you want to have true religion, you, me, I will make sure and visit, which means more than just say, hi, how are you, visit to check and to see to their needs, the fatherless and the widows. I wonder why he's concerned about them. Any ideas? Okay. I think my preaching just changed for the week. Why do we care about the orphans and the widows? They can't do anything for you.
Because they need someone to take care of them.
They need somebody. They need it. They can't do anything on their own. They can't help themselves in that sense. And so, you as an individual person, take that role. Take that responsibility. Where I live, and I'm not saying where I am is the paragon of virtue, but what I am saying is this. Have you ever noticed there was a time, and maybe that goes on here too, there was a time in the congregation where I am where it seemed like everybody was taking everybody else's kids. You ever notice that? I don't mean stealing, but I mean they just took them. They took them in. I talk to somebody and they say, well, this is my brother and my sister and my... Okay. Well, and then after a while, then you learn, well, they're not even really... This is your family over here, and these people took him in. And so these are my brothers and sisters. Well, they weren't no more brother and sister than that chair is. But they took him in. Then somebody else, then somebody else. Somebody takes a little girl from about 7 years old. And an abusive family, oh, it's terrible. And now, that girl has these people that she calls mom and dad. And she doesn't even call her mom and dad. What did these people do? These over here saw somebody in need and said, you're with me. Now, sometimes you can do that through living, like taking them in to live with you. Or we can do it in other ways, whatever it is. But it seemed like there was a generation, a time there, where that stuff went on. I mean, that's just kind of what you did. At least over in the western part of the state. That's just what you did. And then now you don't really see all that much. I don't know why, but you don't really see all that much. Anyway. Donnie, I'm going to run out of time and I'm not even on to my third chart yet. He saw her, and had compassion. The compassion was there. Based on the Lord's compassion, it motivated action. That's something I need to learn from Jesus, is the term compassion. Compassion. Where is the, we say it this way, or I've heard it said this way, where is the milk of human kindness? Where is that kindness that goes just because you're alive? I haven't always had that, and I'm learning better. But where is the kindness to somebody just because they're breathing? Not because you owe me something, not because I knew your daddy, not because we grew up together, and not because you have money and whatever. No ulterior motives, no other, no nothing, just saying, you know what, I just need to be kind to you. Where is that? I can tell you who had it in abundance, and that was Jesus. He saw her, had compassion, and I promise we're moving on. Motivated the actions, verse 14. to where those that he stopped them. The King James uses the term beer, B-I-E-R, beer. That's how it's pronounced. Today, I don't know how much, I don't know where anyone works around here or anything like that, but if you went to a funeral home today, the casket sits on top of that little rolling thing. It's like a little rolling table. We call that little rolling thing the bier. That's really the name of it. Ask whoever, they'll tell you. You say, what is that down there? And I say, bier. B-I-E-R. But in the Bible days, like we're reading about, and the brother read to us from, and he said, open casket. Because in those days, that's what that was. It meant casket. Jesus goes to where the casket is. These men are walking him out of town. And just like you've seen even on television sometimes back in the Middle East, where they put the casket on their shoulders and they walk it down the street, that's what's going on. They got the casket up on their shoulders and they're walking that casket out of town to go to the cemetery, wherever that may be. And Jesus stops and stops the march. Stops everything, touches that beard, touches the casket, and told that boy to sit up. Isn't that amazing? He said the words specifically. He said, young man, I say to thee, arise. I can't help but notice that's pretty much what he said to that to the nobleman's daughter that time. And he said, Talitha Cumai, which means daughter, arise. And people who know about this, which is not me, says that when Jesus said Talitha Cumai, which is Aramaic, it was like when a father comes in and his little girl's asleep. And he says, okay, honey, wake up. What happened to you this morning? Come on, honey, time, wake up. And you'll hurry. But that's what that is. All right, honey, time to wake up. Want to wake you from sleep. Young man, arise. Son, wake up. Time to get up. As if arousing him from sleep, this man got up. He sat up. And you remember what the other thing he did was? He started talking. I'd love to have known what that man had, young man had to say. Did he wake up going, where am I? Did he wake up going, thank you? Did he wake up saying, whoa? Did he wake up saying, why did you bring me back? I hadn't thought about that one, hadn't you? Yeah. Why in the world did you bring me back? But whatever he said, we'll never know, but he woke up and spoke. And now, verse 14, verse 15, delivered him to his mother, and fear came upon all. Well, we've kind of touched on a few of these things already, but notice Jesus, when that happened in Nain, when that happened, folks, death and life were passing each other that day. And with man, sin brings death. Romans 6:23. But it's Jesus who brings life. John 10:10. Give life and give it more abundantly. Now Jesus had spoken. It had just been another funeral that day. Jesus speaking stopped the funeral. Here's my point. Do you know that we're all marching in the same direction? Do you know that we're all headed the same way? I don't mean the denominational, everybody goes different ways to the same goal. I mean on earth, you're walking the same direction. We're all walking to what? Every day you get closer to what? That's it. And I'm not trying to sound morbid or sad, but I'm saying, listen, every day, you're one day older. Every day, you have one less day on earth. Every day, you're closer to death than you are to your birth. That's true for you, me, and everybody. My question is this. who will we stop along the way and interrupt that process to tell them about the Lord? Who are we going to stop along the way? Jesus stopped the funeral procession and brought life. I want to know who we're going to stop and talk to, who we're going to stop on the funeral, stop in the procession, stop their marching for a moment and say, have you ever considered this? Who are we going to do that to? Because really, that's the point. Friends, listen to me. There's a gospel meeting going on this week at the Mill Street Church of Christ in London, Kentucky. And it's going on starting September 12th, 2021. And Lord willing, it'll continue through September 17th, 2021. I want to know who have you told? How many have you told? How many have you stopped on their procession to the grave and said, I've got an opportunity for you to hear about life? How many? Then, this. You say, well, I've done that, preacher. And Donnie set out flyers, and we put flyers out. And I talked to people. I called them on the phone, and I told them about it, and so forth. And to that I say, thank you. You care and have compassion for somebody that they may never do anything for you, but you have helped them. Number two is this. Don't turn off the heat now. This is the time to turn the heat up. You do understand that. We invite people to the gospel meeting, then the week of the gospel meeting comes, you don't just go, all right, I'm done. No, that's the time you raise it up. And then those same people you talk to, and then a few more, you go and tell them about it and say, hey, is this going on this week? And they got services at 10 o'clock and 7, two times. I'm going to be there. You need to be there. And I've told you about it, and I really want you to be there. Really want you to come. Really make an effort to come. Let's see if we can't figure out a day that we can all go together, and let's gang up. Let's go to Dairy Queen, and we'll go get ice cream afterward if you want to go. Or we'll go before, and we'll go over to Golden Corral. They have one of those here. If you don't, you're missing out. We're going to go to the barrel. That's where we'll go. We'll go to the barrel, Cracker Barrel, and we'll eat something and then come on over to the meeting. Or we'll do whatever. Let's do. This is the time to turn the heat up. This is the time to show that compassion. This is the time. Jesus noticed the blind, the children, the widows, the sinners, and the lepers. He went to save them, to show them compassion. I told you I wasn't going to preach, and here I'm preaching. So, that's the point. Are you grateful for who notices you? Who are you going to notice on this journey, is my question. Are you grateful that somebody, listen to me, are you grateful that somebody stopped you on your way to the grave and told you about Christ? Because if you're grateful that somebody stopped you on the way to the grave, somebody's going to be thankful that you did it too. And stopped you and told you about the Lord. Never know what good is going to come. Say, well, I did it one time and they didn't listen. Well, maybe they'll listen now. Things change in life. It's not always the same, is it? Things change. Life experiences change. It's time to tell them again. We got a week. Okay? Any questions? I thank you very much. Appreciate the good way you've listened. Thanks for putting up with me.